West Tigers fans, finally, the wait is over. Our season returns this weekend as we take on the Canberra Raiders, and Benji Marshall has named a fresh new side, plenty of new faces, and we are going to preview that game on tonight's episode of the West Life Podcast. Welcome in to another episode of the West Life Podcast. I am your host, Josh Barnett. Please give us a follow at West Life Pod on Instagram and Twitter if you haven't already. Give us a like and a subscribe on the YouTube channel, especially to everyone tuning in live. Turn notifications on for each episode. And yeah, know when we go live, joining the fun. Loving that our YouTube numbers are really high this year. It's yeah, they're kind of catching the audio numbers and, all the my amateur Photoshop and design work for the slides and the colourful pictures and that sort of thing not going to waste. It seems to be doing the trick. So thank you to everyone tuning in on YouTube and on the audio on a Wednesday night as we preview this weekend. Finally, the West Tigers are back. We've been waiting. I know it's been an off-season. We all were looking forward to the off-season because obviously another season last year as we clunked home to the end, and that last game against Manly, I blocked out of my memory until Monday night when we talked about it with Benny, our Manly fan, who joined us for a bit of fun, a bit of banter as we went through team by team against all the matchups of the West Tigers and who we think we could beat this year. So go back if you haven't listened to it yet. Check that out on the YouTubes and the podcast pipes as well. Patreon.com/Westlife. If you want to support the show as well, or you can become a YouTube member, just like super fan Gussie has. Also already got two super chats already. We're not even, I saw Brandon, he dropped one at 7:40 PM this evening. We went live at after 8:30, he said, can't listen tonight. Go Westlife and Tigers. Thank you, Brandon. He's dropped us. And then Inagizn. I'm trying to work out. It's like a number plate on a WRX in Bankstown. Trying to decipher what that means. But on the Inagizn, $3 as well. How good's that, Roberto? The fans are certainly showing their loyalty to us, and hopefully, just like you, heading down to the nation's capital this weekend to show their support to our beloved West Tigers.
Yeah, g'day, boys. G'day, everyone out there. Thanks for those. What did Inagizn have to say, by the way, Josh? What was his
message? He just threw us $3 just for the sake of it. I don't know if he accidentally forgot to put his message in there, but he just threw us $3 and that's it. It's just,
well, he realizes how desperate we are.
Yeah, blank message. That's straight to the Sportsbet account.
All good.
Thanks for that. Appreciate it.
Looking forward to heading down to Canberra with my youngest son on Saturday. Just going to make it a day trip, see the game and make the trek home, win or lose. And it'd be nice to see the boys, how they perform first up this year.
Have you been to Bruce Stadium before?
Yes, I have, quite a few times.
Yeah, the only time I've seen us play there is when we carved them up 40-0 in 20... Can't remember. I just remember Curtis Sironen was 5'8", and Benji was tearing them up in the number 7 jersey. What would that be?
Well, he certainly had a good record as a player against him, Josh. That's for sure.
I want to say 2011. It's 2011, 2012, one of those years. That was a very, very good drive back from a very cold nation's capital that night. God, it's cold down there, but it shouldn't be. It should be nice weather this weekend. It's a good time to play in Canberra. Mr. Thompson, how are you this evening on a Wednesday night? Very excited for the footy to be back.
Yeah, g'day Josh, g'day Rob, g'day everyone who's watching or listening. Yeah, I'm stoked to have footy back, obviously. Like you said, it was an off season that we were looking forward to just to get the end of the season out of the way. But with what happened over the off season, some of the signings that we've made, there's a bit of optimism.
Just saw Jack on Facebook. He's heading down with his son for the for his first game as well. How good's that? Good on you, Jack. Nice. It looks like, by the looks of it, look by Jack's profile picture, his son isn't too old too. So good on you, Jack. First game for your son. It's always a special moment. Took my son along with my dad on Father's Day, the last game of 2022, when we got carved up by, I can't remember, but it was the last game of 2022. I think it was Sharks, I'm thinking. Don't know. But it was, despite the loss, it's a very special moment. Yeah, taking your son to, or daughter, I shouldn't say son. I just said son because I have a son. Just take your child to the, because sure as hell, if I had a daughter, they'd be being brainwashed to be Tigers fans as well. I got my son a jersey in the off season with Barnett on the back. He chose number 6 for some reason. Maybe, I don't know, maybe he's a Lockie Galvin fan and he doesn't know it yet. So bring it on. How good is it to have the footy back? Speaking of which, if you're not heading down to the nation's capital, the best place to watch the game live and loud is, of course, West Ashfield. Catch the West Tigers season opener live and loud from the home of the West Tigers, West Ashfield. Dive into the half-for-half deal where you can indulge in half-price pizzas and discounted tap beer from kickoff until half-time. Enjoy responsibly. If we win, maybe, yeah, have a few more skewies. They'll be full price at full time. But if it's a win, who cares? Drop, what's a schooner worth? About $7 these days, less if you're a member of Holman Barnes Group. Bringing people together. For more information, visit holmanbarnesgroup.com.au. Great big cinema size screen there to watch the footy. And thank you again to Holman Barnes Group for supporting the Westlife podcast again in 2024. Yeah, 2024. That's right. Right, a bit of news to start. The news, it's only little. The papers are really trying to milk a bit of news out of the West Tigers this year. So sorry if they're not really news as such, but I saw a thing in the SMH. Adam Pengilly wrote that Coruscant was begging Jerome Luai to join the West Tigers. And basically in that article, Appy was saying that, yeah, saying to Luai constantly, are you coming? Are you coming? Are you coming? When he was trying to decide where he was going to sign. So, Rob, this is a big, I mean, Appy obviously is already shown on the field how good he is, but with Appy and Luai, we're absolutely in contention for any big, assuming we can afford him and fit him under the cap. We're over that hump now, and another big signing is massively possible because of one Appy Coruscant.
Well, it would certainly give us, what, half of the Penrith winning spine combination for two of their premierships. So, yeah, look, I mean, obviously that's a headline just to grab our attention. And as much as I love Appy, I think, you know, all the credit's got to go to Benji. I mean, I know there are a lot of people, you know, in terms of management, whatever, got behind it and did their best to get this over the line. But I'm 100% convinced that Jerome Luai would not have signed with the West Tigers if it wasn't for Benji Marshall. It's the admiration he's got for him. You know, he's an idol, you know, like a hero, and he's played alongside him. And I just think that attraction, and obviously, you know, without a doubt, the money, but, you know, he could have got big money elsewhere as well. And that's what the cap does. The cap, when you're as successful as Penrith, you know, you every player's value goes up. So Penrith have to keep shedding players, as they have done for a few years, including our own Appy. So yeah, it was a great coup. And as I said last week, I think Coruscant's just like one of us. He's just a Tigers supporter. So, and it's kind of cool having a fan of the club be the captain of the club, and he just wants the best he could. And you know, I reckon even there's a part of, as much as he's loved his premierships and he wouldn't swap them for anything, I really think Appy kind of wishes he was 25 again, you know, instead of his early 30s, because, you know, there's only so much time that Appy can play. Like, let's hope he can see out his contract, because, you know, he has a very difficult position. He's a key member of our team, and obviously he needs to play big minutes for us to be competitive.
as an almost 36-year-old, I definitely constantly think, wish I was 25 again. I don't blame Appy for that at all, the way my knees are going these days. I saw Jason on YouTube here saying, I reckon the 900K had more to do with it than the begging.
No, I agree.
Obviously, of course. But at the end of the day, he left his mates and area he grew up with, all like junior club. Like, obviously, it's $1 million pay rise, but he also could have stayed and probably won more premierships, been in a competitive side. A lot of reasons why he could have stayed as well. And
was it 900 though, Josh? Isn't it more like 1.1? Like, it's like a So it's more.
1.2. It's 1.2.
You can't knock back that sort of money, like, of course, you know, especially for a young guy like him with a young family. It'd just be absolute madness. And the fact that he's won those premierships with Penrith, he just gets a new challenge. So Penrith are getting punished for their own success. He's like, oh, we've done this before. And you can hear Luai this year saying he's super keen to go out on a high and try and win four in a row. And I'm sure he'll be, you know, extra motivated to do that, given that he's leaving as well, and just wants to show that he's not just going to, like, you know, just stroll through this year casually and just keep himself fresh for next year. So, you know, realistically, this is his best chance to win another premiership. So he's going to go hard, but I just know what he's going to bring to the Tigers when he gets to our club. And we need that sort of quality at the club. We don't have enough of it, especially in the back line.
As it might not be $1 million signing, to build a premiership team, you need to have those half a mil players, and half a mil for the West Tigers normally wouldn't get us too much. But with these guys in our side, half a mil might get us like a very key signing from somewhere. It could be someone, a team offloading a player. Like, there's definitely opportunities up and down the roster with these guys here, not just signing a star.
Yeah, absolutely. You'll get like players potentially wanting to come from other clubs for maybe a little bit less money than we would have otherwise, because we were always in the news for the wrong reasons. Having players like Jerome and even Justin Ollam signing with us shows that we're on the up, we're on the improvement. There are people who now want to come to the club to potentially play under Benji Marshall, who's honestly still one of the greats of the game, recently retired. And it's just looking like, yeah, positive times in Tiger Town. Like, things are on the up again.
Nice work on the mention of Benji Marshall. It leads us into the other news in quotation mark story. It saw Dean Ritchie basically writing an article. He was quoting coaches anonymously about Benji Marshall and how he's this new type of coach. I guess he's a millennial, so he's like, he's still got social media, and he apparently is there 3 hours after, apparently, according to a player manager, he rocks up 3 hours after the players some days, and he's not 24/7 football, blah, 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 blah. So basically saying, is Benji going to be successful when he does things different to previous coaches? Rob, is this just the media trying to have a dig at the era? Yeah, they're always trying to have a dig at the West Tigers. Is this Dean Ritchie article got legs, or is he just hit a deadline during that was early in the week and had nothing else to write about?
Look, I think he's setting up a potential story for later on down the track, should we not be doing well and Benji's not getting the wins that we want as a club. It sounds weird that Benji's publicly said that I'm not going to be like all the other coaches. I'm still going to have my family life and go out and do what I want. But you know, my work's my work, and I'll come home and I'll come home. And that's just very unlike, I don't think there's many other coaches that actually do that. So look, I don't want to put a negative spin on Benji. I'm going to Canberra this week, so like I just want to watch the team. I want to cheer the team. I'm not expecting to do anything better than 17th, to be perfectly honest. We can get into the team and the squad later, but I think just take Benji Marshall out of the equation. We've said this before. If I was to, you know, be the CEO and I could handpick Craig Bellamy and put him at the West Tigers, I don't believe we could make the 8 this year with Craig Bellamy. So the fact that Benji, even though he was there last year and he had the headphones on and he's, you know, definitely got his feet wet as a head coach, I don't think I think it's just such a hard job to be taking over the wooden spooners and to expect success. And if you just want to like take opinion out of it for a sec, just the fact that we've got a pretty weak back line, nothing wrong with our halves, but they're untried and they don't know each other. Like that takes time to build combinations. We've got a good starting forward pack. I think our bench is very thin and very lacking experience. And if you look at our whole squad, it's just so full of youth. And to be fair, there's a lot of talent there. And if you could like snap your fingers and give these guys another 75 games and fast forward 3 years, you say, wow, these guys are like really good players. Like Talon De Silva's played 75 games now, and maybe Miller would have come through by then and be one of our starting props. But right now, we just look like such a young squad. And I think it's such a massive ask for Benji to actually get success. So what's your definition of success? For all of us, it's wins and losses. But if we're, for example, if we've only won one or two games out of a dozen, then this article that Dean Ritchie has written today is just, you know, the introduction to them saying, well, look, Benji's not putting in the time as a coach. He's already inexperienced. And they're setting up a story for down the track. I think the fairest thing to do is just judge him on what he does. If you never know, there's other things we've got to judge with Benji. For example, what if we win our first four games and then we lose six games in a row? Then we have to judge and say, well, hang on, Benji, you started off well. Why couldn't you stop the rot? What changed? Like, there's so many situations that Benji Marshall hasn't been in and is still yet to face. So how do we judge him in the end? And look, all I hear out of Concord is the players are happy. The whole staff is happy. He brings an aura of confidence. He's a cool, calm and collected character. I get all that. There's parts just for me personally that don't sit well. Like a couple of players have said, oh, you know, Benji's a clown. He jokes around with us, blah, blah, blah. But sometimes we don't know whether he's joking and whether he's being serious. To me, that's a little bit of a problem, because I think your coach has to be your coach, and there has to be that absolute respect, and Benji has to be getting his message across clearly. There can't be mixed messages, like you're telling player X what to do and then the next minute you're telling him something else and the player thought it was a bit of a joke or you weren't being serious. I think Benji's got I know he's trying to be that Wayne Bennett sort of coach, but I think Benji's going to have to draw the line between being buddies and mates. And let's face it, guys, he's an idol to most of that squad. Like, they all love him. They all look up to him. He's a hero to them. I think that aura's got to change a little bit, and he's got to be more of that Wayne Bennett where everyone respected Wayne Bennett to the point where they wouldn't, like, Wayne Bennett doesn't really joke around too much when it comes to his footy, maybe when they're at a restaurant or something. So I just think Benji will learn all that. And it's just, I just think he's just got a monumental task, and I'm not saying he's not going to succeed, but if anyone out there is expecting success within the first couple of years, they are really optimistic, because I look at the squad, I look at the coaching staff. It's not just Benji. No offense to Robbie, but Robbie's had no coaching experience. Hino's one of the other blokes. Hino's had no experience. The only bloke there is John Morris. So can we do well? Of course we can do well. It's up to them. Doesn't matter what I think. Doesn't matter what you think. But the reality is we've probably got a 10% chance of succeeding. But, you know, fast forward 10 weeks, Lachie Galvin might be a superstar. Talon De Silva might have already been playing backup to Coruscant. Lob might have forced his way onto the wing and he scored half a dozen tries by then. We don't know. Bud Sullivan could be a genius. Like, he could be scoring tries himself. So there's plenty of upside. I'm excited to see how we build. But, you know, to expect wins and that straight away when combinations are still forming, I just think it's a massive ask. Look, I'm just happy to have a club now that at least above Benji is doing everything they can for Benji and the players. So even if we have a poor sort of year in terms of wins and losses, at least, no offense to Benji, at least they can say, well, you know, they'll put pressure on Benji. Oh, your players aren't doing well, or Benji's not doing well. It's not going to be that your CEO can't manage a club, or your chairman hasn't got a clue what he's freaking doing, or your board is full of idiots that just say yes people. Like, all that part of it's gone. It's just going to come back to the coach and the players. I just want to get out there, cheer the team, talk about them every week, you know, hopefully just be as constructive as we can. But I'm not going to say Benji's going to fail, because it's not up to me to say Benji's going to fail. I just think it's a ridiculously hard task. You know, it's a bit like Aaron being on the 1% club. So, you know, it's those sort of figures about being successful. But, you know, he's backing himself. But again, Benji's the sort of guy too. He's backed himself in other things, and there's been things where he hasn't succeeded and he's walked away from it. He wanted to go to rugby union, and he quit rugby union. He said, you know what? I backed myself. I tried to be good at it. I wasn't good at it. So if we have a ridiculously bad win percentage rate after a year or two, Benji might turn around and walk away and say, it's not for me. But I don't see him as a quitter. I don't want to look at it like that. We need this season to be successful enough that other players do want to come, not just because of Jerome Luai. The Benji aura is going to go if we've won four games this year. That aura is just going to be gone. That the media would have bashed us to death. We need to be better than a four-win team this year, but it's going to be tough with the squad we've got. If we cop any injuries, we are super thin on starters. We need everyone to be at their best, and Benji's got to be at his tactical best too, Josh.
Yeah, 100%. Dendrici, if you're listening, just copy everything Rob said there verbatim, put in an article, say it's yours, because that was better than the article you just wrote today. Righto, late last year, viewers / listeners might remember we were talking about we've hooked up with Dynasty, who make jerseys through the biggest Fanua Pole fan on the planet in Connor News from Dynasty. He's going to put together some jerseys, legitimate cotton jerseys, so old school style, but with a modern taste. So similar, they're based on they're Westlife branded, but they're based on basically the jersey as when we did our favorite jersey episode in the off season with late last year with Johnny co-hosting West Tigers jersey collector. Most people proclaim the retro jersey from 2014 it's the black, orange and white horizontal stripes, simple design. We beat Manly in the rain. Yeah, a lot of people agree that that was the best West Tigers jersey ever. So we're putting together a cotton long sleeve replica, so perfect for winter, made by the same company that makes jerseys for the Warriors, the Sharks, I think the Cowboys. There's another one, I'm missing, Manly, I think. So they do a lot of, they're legitimately an NRL jersey company. They're $80 if anyone wants to order one. This is legitimate. Like, we're not making any money off this. Just, this is legit cost price. If you want one, podcast@westlife.com to pre-order. Hook the boys up. I've ordered one for us three. And I also may have bought one as a gift for my little brother as well, who I know is watching the show tonight again. So shout out to little brother. Maybe I can pass it off as a wedding gift. What do you reckon? But no, yeah, beautiful cotton. They should come by late May. So it's a big of a turnaround because they've got to, put everything together and make them. But yeah, if you want to get on board and get one, podcast@westlife.com. And yeah, let us know what you think. If you're watching on YouTube, check it out on our YouTube. If you're listening on audio, what are we, 23 minutes into the show, if you want to see what they look like, because you obviously can't see it on the audio platform, but I can't wait to get my hands on one of these. Jason said, can I get them at Best and Less? Not quite. One day, who knows? Maybe we'll strike up a deal with Best and Less to sell them. So yeah, we're not trying to make money off these, but if you guys want to, join us and wear our name around in a nice black, orange and white cotton jumper. What do you reckon, fella? What do you reckon of the design? Noons has killed it on this one, Az.
Yeah, I absolutely love it. Sorry, one moment. Yeah, I love it. I think it's really cool. Obviously, it was a very popular retro jersey. The people love it. I like the logo on it, the Westlife podcast logo in the oval.
Don't say it. Don't say it. Yeah, it's, yep. It's just some just a regular old oval with Westlife in the middle of it. Rob?
Yeah, I love it.
Well, you won on the way?
I love it. And I guess, you know, having them by the end of May will suit the weather because it's just so stinking hot at the moment. I wouldn't be wearing anything long sleeves all about then anyway. So
your
timing's right for getting the jumpers ready.
Yeah, I'll be in singlets till about round four, I reckon. Shouts to Michelle Watson. She sent us through $3 on the super chat. No message, just sent us $3. Good on you, Michelle. Thank you. Super chats are on fire tonight. Thank you to everyone. Righto, I'm going to bring in our special guest to preview the Raiders. So obviously we get the opposition fans in, and welcome back to the show. Harry, how are you going this evening?
Harry? I'm good, mate. Thanks for having me on again. How good's having footy back?
It's so good, especially for you guys. So you're 1-0. You're going to be happy with that win last weekend up in Newcastle.
Absolutely stoked. Top four, baby.
What's your confidence level? Obviously, the Raiders, no one's expecting much from them this year, but you came out from the box firing. What are your expectations for the Raiders this year?
I'm never confident when it comes to the Canberra Raiders, and I don't think I ever should be. We've been in the media quite a lot as potential wooden spoon roughies, or in some cases favourites. I think we've got just as much of a chance as playing finals football as we have the last couple of years.
Righto. As do you want to take us through the West Tigers team list for this Saturday at 3 p.m. at Bruce? Is it still called Bruce Stadium? GIO Stadium.
All right. So fullback Jareem Buller, wingers are Charlie Staines and Junior Tupou. Centers are Stafford Toa and Solomona Fa'atape. Lachlan Galvin and Jaden Sullivan in the halves. Stefano Utuikamanu and David Clemmer at prop. Happy Coruscant is the hooker. Isaiah Papali'i and John Bateman in the second row with Alex Seyfarth at lock. The bench is Aiden Caesar, Fanua Pole, Alex Twal, and Samuel Afenu. Reserves, 18th man, is Asu Kepa'oa. Reserves are Talon De Silva, Justin Matamua, Alex Lobb, and Jake Simpkin.
So obviously, a few surprises in there. I have got the injury report to talk about as well after this team list, but obviously, Rob, a lot of talk we're talking about and speculating Monday night that we heard that Lachie Galvin was going to get in. We thought maybe he's coming off the bench, but a Galvin in 6 and Caesar 14, that wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, it's an absolute shock. Don't get me wrong, I'd love to see this combination, if they were firing, be our halves combination, but you know, we've invested heavily in our off-season in Aiden Caesar. The whole talk from both Benji and Richo has been, you know, don't expect to see the flash footy from the Tigers. You know, we're going to be kicking to the corners, et cetera, et cetera. So, I've got no inside information, but to me, like, this is Benji's first test already in terms of tactics. There's no way we're playing Aiden Caesar on the bench. We are either starting him or he is out of that 17. It would be absolute madness if we haven't learned from last year about starting with Coruscant on the bench when we played our first game of the year last year at Leichhardt Oval and how that backfired. If the guy's fit, play him because we need him and we need his composure, we need his experience. That's his former home ground. So, like, there's no one better to have us, you know, leading our team than Caesar out there. So for him to be on the bench because he's got a niggle, if he's got a niggle, protect him and drop him. And look, if he is injured, I don't expect him to play. Given the rest of the bench being forwards, that, you know, there's a strong argument that Kapoa could come in because he can play back row or centres. I think in terms of trying to balance the side and, you know, having Bud Sullivan and Galvin there for 80 minutes, which could potentially not work, I think I'd bring Talon De Silva onto the bench. And if something went wrong in the halves, De Silva can come on, Appy can go in the halves, and one of the starting halves could come off. But I just think it's absolute madness to have Caesar on the bench. He's got to start the game or he just doesn't play at all.
Yeah, a couple of comments coming through, John, like suggesting just that, as that does make more sense to put De Silver at 14. Like, surely we see him come in. Surely not Kepa Owa. I know Sheensy like to have Kepa Owa on the bench because he can fill in the backs or forwards as well. But, yeah, De Silva's definitely the smart move. Obviously, I guess he can't, he's an 80-minute player, but this time of year, maybe given talent, De Silva a few minutes as well. But anything, what are your thoughts on that as well, as a few of the other new faces like Solomona Fatuape? Do I say that right?
Almost. Yep. Close enough. I think Talon obviously does make a lot more sense than Caesar. It does seem like a really strange decision, and I do agree with a previous comment we had about it being a smoke and mirrors play. It just seems a very strange thing to carry him on the bench, even if he is like carrying a niggling injury. Obviously, he's not in the injury report that you mentioned before, Josh. It does seem really odd. I think AJ might be the one that comes on, but I hope not, because I do think Talon needs to be there. If we're going to have a utility on the bench, I think it would have to be Talon, because obviously Appy's not going to be an 80-minute player every week. He might be an 80-minute player some weeks, but probably not every week. It just seems really strange, because I don't know. I'm not exactly sure how it would work if Caesar is on the bench. Like, if Caesar comes on and goes into the halves, does Lachlan Galvin maybe go into hooker instead? Like, that seems a really strange decision to me. Like, I know Galvin's been pretty hyped up, and he could play a whole bunch of different positions potentially. Like, he played, I think, 3 or 4 different positions in the trial against the Dragons and didn't look out of place in any of them. But yeah, it does seem like a bit of a strange one. As for some of the other new faces, Fatape, I'm really looking forward to seeing him go. I think he well and truly earned this spot. We didn't get to see him trial against the Dragons, but he did look very strong against the Warriors and didn't look out of place at all. I'm looking forward to seeing how Jaden Sullivan goes. Being at number 7 is another strange one, but I guess that may be the case that he becomes the number 7 next year once Luai arrives, because I don't know if Luai has the ability to turn himself into a 7. I think he's an out-and-out 6. So this is basically the first of potentially multiple auditions for Sullivan to be a number 7 moving forward. So there's
a 6. Lot of questions. Galvin's a 6, though.
Yeah, Galvin's definitely a 6. It is going to be like a really tricky jigsaw puzzle moving forward, but I guess it's a bit of an audition for some of those guys this week to see how they might look moving forward.
Harry, I'll get your opinion in just a second, but Vard T has thrown us a pineapple in the super chats, a whole $50. He has said, "Thanks, boys, for the podcast. Long-time listener, 43-year-old Balmain fan that bleeds Balmain." Does that mean 43 years of fandom, or your 43 years? 43 years.
I'd say as a fan.
Yeah, 40. Grew up in Birchgrove. Pretty much agree with Rob on everything he says. Thanks for the effort, week in, week out. Vard T, throw us $50. Like,
right, come and be my wife if you're going to agree with me on everything. That's what you want. Hey guys, one thing I should say too. Wouldn't you think if you're a coach with all the hype on Galvin, that, you know, you would name Caesar, and then if he's not playing, you know, then Galvin gets thrown in and the pressure's off him, because right now the pressure's on him all week. So that's even more reason why I just think Caesar's just not playing at all. I have no information, but I just can't wrap it around my head that we would play our general off the bench. I don't see what purpose it serves, but I guess we'll find out Saturday.
Maybe he just wants his debut jersey to be the number 6 jersey, not a number 18 or 19 or 22 or something else. That's all I can really think of.
That's a very superficial thing to be, you know. I think we're big boys. We're in a professional era. It shouldn't matter what jersey you've got. I don't know. Or maybe just Benji doesn't give a stuff and just says, well, you know, he's going to play 6. I don't care what they do. But, you know, Canberra would have thought all along that Caesar's going to be our halfback. I just would have named him at 7. And if he's not going to play, you can still have your late withdrawal an hour before the game, and and they haven't clue what's they don't have a clue what's going on. So maybe Benji is playing a bit of a game, and Caesar will start because, yeah, I'd actually like to have a bet that he's not going to be on the bench, and I'll probably get it wrong though. But I don't think he's going to start on the bench. I hope not.
Harry, you're obviously very familiar with Aiden Caesar. Did he ever come off the bench for the Raiders?
Yes. I believe in 2018, Ricky decided to play him as a bit of a bench hooker. And you could see from the television or from the stands how much he hated it. So I'm not really sure what to go there, especially like I thought the whole point of Caesar coming into the Tigers is to be sort of that old veteran to just sort of steady the ship for the young guys to grow around. So I was expecting him to play seven, and I was looking forward to seeing him play footy again. So that's a little bit disappointing.
Mm. Excited to play against the Raiders, or just because you're still a Caesar fan?
I'm still a Caesar guy at heart. I want him to do well. And you know, if you know, miracles happen and the Tigers do play finals and break their drought, I'd much rather Aiden Caesar be the guy to lead you to it rather than Jerome Luai. So
fair call.
You know, I'm all for Aiden Caesar playing good football this year.
The injury report I was talking about, they also, the West Tigers sent out a video with, what's the conditioning as?
Do you Peter Musa.
Peter Musa, thank you. He explaining each injury. Basically, next week or the week after, we'll get a whole influx of players. So Justin Ollum got the knee knock in the Dragons game. He could be back next week or the week after. Latu Fainu did his hamstring in the trials. Should be back next week or the week after. Brent Naden had shoulder surgery in the off-season. He could be back next week or the week after. Josh Felity got a bit of a shoulder niggle. He'll be next week, the week after. Sakuru could be next week or the week after. Sione Fainu, a couple of weeks with a foot injury. And he said Adam Dwayne will be back in July, I think. Saying round, it says round 17 here. So for those wondering, yeah, well, why no Ollum, Fainu? No, because we obviously did our teams on Monday night's show. If all players healthy, what our top 17 would be, and we all obviously had Ollum and Naden in the centres, and they're both out as well, and Felity as well. So the centres, look, outside backs is our bugaboo at the moment, and where we tried to shore up, and we got three of them, three centres there on the injury report. So as not ideal.
No, definitely not. It's a fairly long injury list this early in the season. Hopefully, with obviously a lot of those guys are listed to come back round four, round five. Hopefully, pending no more injuries, we'll start looking a bit better and a clean bill of health over the next couple of weeks.
Rob, where would you assuming they're going to be all fit in a couple of weeks' time, who do you think obviously Ollum is a lock to come into the side?
Look, I think it's got to be decided on what we do this week or next week if Ollum doesn't play. Like, if Fata Ape plays, great, keep him. Like, that's what competition for spots is about. What's concerning about that back line if you go from, like, you know, literally number one to seven? Like, look at the lack of experience there. Like, even our star fullback in Jareem Buller, he's had, what, roughly 15, 16 games of NRL. Like, our most experienced players are Charlie Staines and Stafford Toa, who are fringe first graders. Like, Bud Sullivan's had a dozen games or so. Lockie hasn't had a game. You know, Junior Tupu's probably had 25 games. Like, there's just not much there in terms of experience. So it's a really huge ask. Like, that's why it's so important to have someone with experience like Caesar there, just for all those guys around him. So, look, at the same time too, the fact that they don't have experience, they've got no idea about losing too much and stuff like that, that can be a benefit as well. So I just think we need to shore up quite a bit. And I think this roster is going to change significantly between this year and next year. It really has to. It's just too lopsided in so many ways. And we've got to fix it up. We've got too much money in our halves. that's got to be sorted out. We've just got to get our back sorted. And hopefully this year we will find some of these young forwards coming through so we don't need to add depth to the forwards. Because as I look at it right now, I'm struggling for like number 16, number 17. I feel like we're a bit light. We need a journeyman who's had 150 games with a bit of experience, just a, you know, it doesn't have to be anything flash, but just can do a role. And I just think we're lacking a couple of those sorts of guys.
Harry, while we're talking injuries, how are these the Canberra roster at the moment? Are you guys pretty much, as we, I'll get Az to do the team list for them in a tick, but are you guys missing anyone for this weekend?
Elliot Whitehead, I think, is the only injury.
Okay.
I think they said it was a calf, so we missed the first three or four weeks. Zach Hosking slot right in on Thursday, and he played really well. So yeah, we've got a lot of depth in the forwards, so we're always good to cover there.
You think being the home of the milk, he'd be good with calves, but
well, he's getting up there in age. He's a real old boy.
My dad joke's going straight over your head there, right? As right, as run us through the Canberra Raiders team list.
All right, so fullback is Jordan Rapana. Wingers are Albert Hopewate and Xavier Savage. Matthew Timoko and Sebastian Chris are in the centres. Ethan Strange and Jamal Fogarty in the halves. Josh Papali'i and Joseph Tapine are the props, with Danny Levi at hooker. Hudson Young and Zach Hosking are the second rowers, with Morgan Smithies at lock. The bench is Tom Starling, Emre Gula, Atta Mariotta and Pasami Solo. 18th man is Nick Chotrich. The reserves are KO Weeks, Simi Sasangi, Zach Wolford, and Trey Mooney.
Is Chotrich, is he Serbian or Croatian?
Serbian, I think.
Serbian.
Yeah.
Home of the best basketball player on the planet, and tennis player, I guess, as well. Harry, who in this squad is fresh this year for you guys, and who are you keen to... Well, obviously, you guys have already... I keep forgetting everyone's already had their fun and played already, but is anyone that's new in your squad kind of caught your eye already?
Well, so the big one is the 5'8", is Ethan Strange. Obviously with no Whiten, so that spot was basically in the trials. It was basically a play in between Ethan Strange and KO Weeks. It looks like, and Strange played really well in that second trial, and he's a pretty strong defender. He didn't do much on Thursday with the ball, but he didn't really need to. He just kept his shoulders up in defense and did enough. And he's got a big future ahead of him, I reckon.
Rob, what's your thoughts on Rapana? We're used to him scoring 1,000 tries against us on the wing. Rapana at fullback.
He goes very well there. Yeah, look. It's surprising. I mean, I think, you know, the heir apparent to that fullback spot is Xavier Savage, but obviously he's had some injuries and they've put him now on the right wing. But he absolutely destroys us, as with our former player, Joey Leilua. They formed a lethal combination on the right for many years and used to have a picnic against us. So, look, he's just a class player. You can play Rapana anywhere and he'll get the job done. And he's very dangerous. Like, he looked good last week. I like I said last week, I'm not sort of I accept their 5'8 is a very, very good player. I just think that he's too much alike the halfback. I think going down the track, Weeks should be their 5'8. But if something went wrong, then obviously their number six can play halfback, and because he's very much a general, pretty much like what they've got already. So I just think that's why he was a bit quiet last week, but. As we were just told, he's a good defender.
As who matchup wise for the Raiders is scaring you a little bit.
Their forwards, they've obviously got a very, very powerful forward pack, and that's even with Corey Horsburgh not there. I'm wondering what happens to Morgan Smithies when Horsburgh comes back into that 13 role, but in general, the forward pack of the Canberra Raiders, obviously Josh Papali'i and Joseph Tapine. They lead from the front really well. We're going to have a hard time defending against those big boys. And Hudson Young, we saw what he could do when he got that Origin debut for the Blues. Zach Hosking, I haven't seen too much of, but I think he's a pretty solid player as well. And yeah, they've just got a very big, strong, powerful forward pack.
Harry, do you expect any changes? Do you expect that to be your one to 17? Was that pretty locked in for you guys? Obviously, with the West Tigers, we're expecting Benji to maybe tweak a few things an hour before kickoff.
Yeah, I believe that would be usual 17. Ricky does like to experiment with the forwards in terms of putting Papali to come off the bench, not so much in a demotion, but just in a way of rotating both him and Tarpany to keep at least one of them on the field at once. And he can be really damaging coming off after 20 minutes against tired forwards, but I think that would be the starting side.
Random question. Don't know if you know the answer. Is Mariota, is he related to the quarterback at all?
I don't believe so, no.
Highly doubtful, Josh.
Why is it doubtful? That's not... They're both on the same...
Mariota, like they're...
He's Samoan.
1,000 miles apart, mate. Like...
Yeah, but they're both Samoan, I think. Pretty sure they're both Samoan. So you never know. They might be cousins or something. I know Sean Blaws, he's got a cousin that's in the college system for basketball over in America. Just, I don't think I've ever mentioned that on the show. It's a bit of a tidbit for you. So plenty of athleticism in that family. Obviously, righto, stats man, what have you got for us for this episode?
Obviously, just a little bit of a fun one tonight. The Tigers are the only team in the competition so far this year to have spent time in every single position in the top eight so far this season. Obviously, with the live ladder and how it works, as soon as the kickoff of the first game happened, we were first on the ladder, and then after every result, we just dropped down another position as teams won and got their 2 points in their positive differential. So, yeah, just a fun little... We've been in every position in the top eight so far this year, and we're the only team that can say that.
Just looking at the previous matchup, so we've beaten the Raiders once since, 2015. So 1, 2, 3, 4 losses in a row. Then we got the win in 2018, and we're on a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 losses in a row. Harry, you pretty confident it'll be 8 in a row for you guys?
I'm hopeful. Yes, I think we should win.
You were pretty lucky at Campbelltown last year, just saying.
We definitely just snoozed off as like every other game we played last year. We didn't do 13 plus last year. We just got to the front and coasted.
Either you snoozed off or we woke up when you guys had Hudson Young, I think it was, go to the bin.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah. I think it was Tom Starling, I think.
Oh, Starling. Yeah, that's right.
Do you have any memories, Harry, of West Tigers Canberra Raiders games? Obviously, big famous one was it 2000 or 2001 when they played in the snow? I don't know if you're old enough to. Yeah, I don't know if you're old enough to remember that game. But
definitely wasn't old enough to remember that one. I was there in 2010 for that finals game.
Of course.
Yeah, I cried.
So did I. With joy,
and then cried the next week in pain against the Dragons. Oh. Yeah,
But yeah, recent memories have all been pretty happy from my end. Was up at Leichhardt in 2022, and I think 30 minutes into the game, and our halfback had given his football boots away to a fan in the crowd. Which was just incredible.
Yep, that was there for that one as well. Yeah, obviously the end of season one in, was that 22? No, that, what was the one that knocked us out of finals contention?
2016.
That was 2016.
Yeah,
16. Yeah, 52-10. It's pretty funny though, because Benji Marshall had a really good record against you. So we... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 wins and 1 loss and 3 losses. So 10 out of 11 between, yeah. Or Benji was gone after the end of those. So 2009, yeah, for whatever reason, Benji Marshall used to get wins against you guys. And now he's coach. Maybe, I don't know, maybe that's an omen that we'll start winning against you guys again.
Yeah, I think he was 10 from 11 at GIO Stadium.
Yeah.
Because I think there was one game for the Dragons in there as well that he also won.
It's up there with Jonathan Thurston never beating the Tigers in outside of Townsville, which is my favourite stat ever.
Josh, boys, I think the stat there as well, when Benji and Robbie played together in Canberra, we didn't lose down there at all. I'm pretty sure the only times we'd lost in Canberra were when one or both of those guys weren't there.
Mm. Any memorable games? Obviously, all three of us were at the Campbelltown one last year. That was a smidge off being a very memorable, memorable one last year. But boys, do you have any Canberra Tigers memories? Obviously, Rob, I hate to bring it up, but whenever you think Raiders, my dad hates the Raiders, and you probably know why. What is it, 35 years later, he still hates the Raiders. I mean, it's hard to hate. Like, I don't hate the Dragons because they knocked us out in 2010. I don't hate the Warriors for knocking us out in 2011. Like, you can't hate it. I don't see the point in hating a team for winning. I'll hate a team. Like, I hate the Parramatta Eels because I can't stand their fan base. I hate the same with the Rabbitohs. But the Raiders, I'm annoyed that they kept carving us up year after year with Leilua and
Rapana,
yeah, scoring 1,000 tries. You always get arsey tries against us. Like, I bet you any money there's a try on the where you put a kick through, it ricochets off someone's head. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I've got you again now. Just a bit of a stutter there, give a few clicks.
Okay, Canberra Raiders always score. I mean, they score arsy tries in general. I don't know why, but I bet there's a try this weekend where, like, it ricochets off one of our players' heads into, and then a weird bounce into Rapana's hand to score a try or something freakish like that. That annoys me about the Raiders, but yeah, for whatever reason, it's obviously losing 1989, Rob, to the Raiders in the grand final. If only the goalpost was, the crossbar was an inch lower, but my dad wouldn't hate the Raiders so much.
Yeah, look, I'll never get over that game. I don't have hatred to Canberra, believe it or not. Like when we talk about 89, I get a little bit upset, but I've kind of turned my hatred of 89 onto Bill Harrigan. Like, I wish him everything that's bad in life. Like, that's, and I mean that sincerely, even if it makes me look like a terrible human being. I hate his guts. And I'm not a big fan of Mal Meninga, because every time Mal Meninga talks about that game, he says, "We were never going to lose that game." And all those sort of moments you're talking about, Josh, it literally happened in that game, whether it was, you know, Michael Neal falling on a ball and suddenly Canberra had the ball, or that stupid penalty Harrigan did, or Wayne Pearce dropping the ball, or Mick Neal getting ankle tapped, or Benny hitting the crossbar, etc., etc. But being a lot older than you guys, I actually liked Canberra when they first came into the comp, because what used to happen was a lot of the Balmain players, being a Balmain supporter, when they were getting, you know, on in their careers, Canberra would obviously buy all those players. So guys like David Grant, Percy Knight, Lloyd Martin, Gary Spears, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, guys you wouldn't know of, they all went there. So I kind of like, Canberra was like a second team because there were like four or five ex-Balmain players in it. So I actually really like Canberra. And obviously, like, I was cheering for Canberra in the 87 grand final when they lost to Manly. Not realising that experience would come back and bite us in the arse in 89. But one memory I do have, Josh, which is a bad one, was being down in Canberra. Would have been about somewhere between 2005 and 2010. And we lost in Golden Point with that stupid, you know, when two men are in the tackle but one drops off and you still weren't allowed to strip it. Todd Payton had stripped the ball in extra time. And we'd gone down there for that game, and that was just a really long drive back. But obviously, you know, the 2010 semi-final, I still think it's the club's greatest ever victory, because I challenge any team to have come back from a devastating defeat like we had against the Roosters in, you know, what, 100 minutes of football and you know, come back from a Saturday to play on a Friday night. And look, to be fair, we were lucky to win that semi-final too, as well as we played. Croker missed a relatively easy goal kick, and Terry Campese, he got injured three quarters of the way through the game when Canberra were coming back at us. So, yeah, look, I don't have any hatred to Canberra, but I certainly don't like Mal Meninga, especially when he said during the Super League War, "What has the game done for me?" Like, that always, I've never forgotten that comment. And obviously Bill Harrigan, he's just a dirty old, yeah, hate him. We won't go there. I'll keep it clean tonight.
Yeah. We don't want, get an email of a defamation
pretty much
letter. As any, your, obviously your Tigers fandom is a bit younger than Rob and even mine. Have you actually seen the Tigers? So we haven't beaten them in Sydney since 2014. Have you seen us beat Canberra before?
I actually have. I'm 100% success rate when I've gone to Canberra to watch them play. The game there in late season in 2018, I went to that one with my brother. It was a very long drive back to Orange that night, I think. But yeah, we got the win, and 1 a.m. in the morning we arrive home, and we're still pretty stoked. So that was a good night. It was a close game, a tough game, but it was great to get the win at that one. So yeah, that's the one and only time I've seen us beat the Raiders live.
Harry, what's your Canberra Raiders fan history? How did you become a fan of them?
I've got two older brothers. They're both Raiders fans. Born in Canberra.
You were born in Canberra, or your brothers, or all three?
All of us. Oh, yeah, we grew up.
Okay, so you're genuine Canberran. Okay,
sweet. Exactly. Yes.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
But you're in Sydney now.
I was in Sydney last year. I have moved back. To Canberra since. So yeah.
Okay, so if you're a Canberra. My grandfather say Canberra. How do you pronounce? Is it? It's Canberra, isn't it? Canberra. Yeah. My grandfather used to say Canberra. What can you recommend anyone heading down to Canberra? What can they do? Get the Questacon or Parliament House? What do you recommend? Obviously, they're not really that close to Bruce Stadium. I was only joking with those things. So, what do you recommend for fans heading down to GIO Stadium to see?
I will say this weekend is actually a big Canberra weekend. We've got this annual thing called Skyfire. It's basically just a big fireworks show, and that's on Saturday night after the football as well. It's something to do after the football to alleviate the pain, depending on the result.
That's funny, because ever since I was a kid, fireworks, Jason D's comment here on YouTube, he said, "Born in Canberra, your house must be full of porn and fireworks." I've known what fish, I've never been to Fishwick, but I reckon I was in primary school in the 90s and I knew what Fishwick, like, and the reputation. And it was always like, oh, like, I got some, my uncle went to Canberra and he brought back some bungers to let off because you sell fireworks. Like, it's funny how, like, the nation's capital of this country is known for being the only place to buy fireworks. Like, is it legit? Like, growing up, did you grow up as a kid in Canberra?
Partly. Spent some time on, like, a couple hours outside Canberra as well. But yeah, again, like, Fishwick's, I've never really been to Fishwick to for the full fireworks shopping kind of thing, but yeah, we all knew about it. That's the place you go to get them,
and that's what you do as a kid, let off fireworks.
I guess so, yeah.
Because like growing up, even in the 90s, I know Rob, obviously you're of your vintage, you would have had Cracker Night, June Long Weekend back in the day.
Didn't go to many of those, mate. I was probably more like the mid-70s when I really didn't attend many things with little fireworks in the backyard and stuff like that. It was just fraught with danger, I thought. So bit of a straighty 180 I was.
Yeah, okay. Righto, enough about Fishwick. Let's talk about gambling instead. Rob Shadamas, what have you got for us this week?
Okay, so look, I still think it's too early in the season to be, you know, confident on picking teams. As you could tell by our tips last week, we were all pretty horrendous. So I've gone a multi. Look, South's right edge was pretty poor last week, so I've gone Cobbo, who's playing left centre. I've gone Tuolungi from the Cowboys, who is on a new winger for the Knights, whose name escapes me. And Daniel Tupu, if I'm not mistaken, if they don't swap wingers Manly, he will be facing our old mate Tommy Talau, who can leave a gap the size of 8 lanes on the Harbour Bridge. So I went for those three. I think if you multi them up, it'll be somewhere around $8. But look, there's plenty of try scorers in all three of those games from both teams. I'm just having a stab at those three and gamble responsibly.
Anything horse-wise this weekend? I think you said earlier that it's too early.
Yeah, it's too early, and I haven't looked. And so look, if I can drop something to you. If someone's really desperate, they can shoot me a DM, and I'll have something by Friday.
Maybe I'll put up in the socials on the Twitter or something, because you've been doing pretty well. I know we normally just do footy, but in the last few weeks, your horse tips have been pretty good, and in the Discord, you've been dropping more. We've got our little punters section in the Discord, so you've been helping everyone out.
I get some good mail. It's not all my stuff. I get some really good stuff.
Are you a betting man, Harry?
Of course. Who isn't?
How are you liking Rob's multi here?
Yeah, I mean, seems obviously. Yeah, Tommy Talau on that edge could be a bit of a weak spot to target. So,
right, just quickly, my brother, I asked him for a horse tip to fill in. So he's saying Sydney race 9, number 8, each way. Well, do you know that one, Roberto?
We wall.
But knowing my brother, he might be just saying getting everyone to punt that, so his horse might get a better price for him.
I think he just wants a gig on the show, Josh.
Race 9, number 8. No, I actually messaged him and asked him to do it. Right, our tips for the week. We've all gone Broncos. Let me just bring up the draw. Do you have pretty confident in the Broncos beating the Bunnies, Harry?
I don't know. I'm still not sold on South being as bad as people think they'd be.
They're $3, $3.10 to win this. Yeah. That's crazy for the Rebels. Obviously, the Broncos running hot up at Suncorp as well. First game in Brisbane. You're pretty confident with this one, Az?
Yeah, I am. I think the Broncos, they're obviously going to be pretty ticked off after losing up in Vegas. It's their first game at home in front of their home fans. I think Suncorp is going to be pretty close to packed out tomorrow night. It's going to be a very hostile atmosphere for the Bunnies, and I think the Broncos will be just a bit too good.
Sharks, Doggies, $3.60 outsider. This one, first game of the year at Shark Park. Were they at home last week?
They were at the Warriors.
So first game at home for the Sharkies, probably a big crowd. Sharks v Bulldogs. There'll be plenty of fans coming across the bridge into Cronulla. What could go wrong on a Friday night at 6 o'clock? Head to Norley's after it for a few skewies. But, Sharkies, this one, surely. Anyone got an argument for the Doggies?
I don't think they were as bad as everyone's making out last week. I don't have an argument for them to win. I think the Sharks win was, to be honest, with the most impressive of the weekend. They were getting absolutely smashed by New Zealand, down 12-0 after 15 minutes, and fought their way back. And they'll get a lot of confidence out of that. I just don't think the Dogs match up in the forwards well. So I think that's probably a game where you'll find a couple of forwards going over for tries for Cronulla. But the Dogs haven't got a bad lineup. So I still think the Sharks will win, but yeah, I don't like the first month of rugby league, guys. I just want to see some form before I write teams off. But you know, the Canterbury backline is pretty good, and I think they've got an ex player maybe playing for them on the wing. Is it Connor Tracy? Is he back on the wing this week? Aaron, are you able to check for me?
Yeah, I believe he is. I think they brought him in on the wing to replace Addo Carr. That's
Addo Carr. Yeah. So he holds his own. He can play fullback, centre, wing. He's a good player. So, look, I'd expect Cronulla to win. But, you know, again, I mean, it's just too early in the season.
Panthers, the Parramatta Eels being, I know, like, it's the Panthers are three-time premiers, but the Eels have a pretty good record against the Panthers lately. They're $3 outsiders, 7.5 start. Are Parra any chance, Harry?
I mean, there'd be some chance. They're always, I mean, they've probably been the best team to play Penrith over the last few years. I don't see Penrith going on at 2, though. After losing last week,
true.
I just can't see that happening.
Yeah, that's like if you bet, if it's all black, you always go red. It's going to be red eventually.
The Eels were the only team to beat Penrith twice last year. Penrith lost six games. Two of them were against Parra, so they lost both home and away. So, yeah, Parra do have their measure, but I think the thing there is Mitchell Moses is under a bit of a cloud and not sure how he's going to pull up after, I think it was a groin strain. They've been resting him at training. They're saying he's going to play, but I'm still a little bit uncertain about that situation there.
Mm.
So they thrashed him in a trial too, pre-season last year as well, Aaron.
They did, yeah.
So they've had three. And who can forget that game at Parramatta Stadium when Cleary kicked that field goal from, I think, near halfway, wasn't it, to tie the game, and then Moses got the winner in extra time.
Yeah, it was about a 45-metre field goal, I think.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I would have tipped Parramatta if there wasn't a question mark over Moses. I expect Penrith to bounce back, but Penrith, again, they don't have many points against teams that can tackle well, as we saw last week. They got 0 points against Melbourne. So if there was no doubt on Moses, I would have tipped Parra, but there's just too many question marks. If Moses is out, they're not winning that game.
7.5 points start. It's juicy, I reckon.
Yeah, I think the line's a good thing.
Mm. I thought about it. I was tempted to tip the West Tigers to win down in Canberra, but we've all gone the Raiders. Harry, being the opposition fan, are you pretty confident your boys will go 2-0?
I am. You got to be confident early in the year. Last week, there was nothing to suggest that we shouldn't.
Good stat by Jamie here on YouTube. He said, Rapana's played more games in an entire 1-7 this week.
I was thinking that earlier tonight, actually. Wow. I didn't do the homework, but I thought that would be a very big chance of being the case.
Has it cracked, 250-ish?
I don't know, but it's actually crazy to think a couple of years ago we nearly lost him to Japanese rugby, and like he just came back. So, you know, and he's still playing at a high level.
We did, didn't we?
I think he did go to
Japanese rugby, didn't he?
I think he went for 5 minutes, though. He wasn't there for very long.
Yes, because it was 2020, so we missed the first 2 weeks, and then COVID happened. So they shut down the league, so he just came back, and he played round three for us.
Yeah,
202 there's also for Rapana, Josh.
Yeah, we've just lost Josh for a sec. While that's happening, I don't know if you're aware of this, Aaron. I'm taking a bit of your stats man glory here. Jamal Fogarty doesn't miss kicks against the West Tigers. I think he kicked 4 out of 4 against us at Campbelltown last year, and then the year before for the Titans, he kicked 8 out of 8. So I don't like the fact that Jamal Fogarty's got a perfect record against us. I'm just hoping that that's a Campbelltown thing and not a West Tigers thing.
Playing
in Campbelltown in winter is almost like playing at Canberra.
Sorry, fellas, I dropped. Yeah. I was trying to look up Rapana's game total, and I X'd out of the stream and closed my window accidentally. So apologies for that. Maybe I shouldn't have 6,000
tabs. I had found it just open. Just as we lost you, I had found that too.
Oh, did you say it?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, good on you, Az. Always keeping me. Now I've got to try and find or slide. Righto, back to our tips. The next game is Cowboys. I think we've all gone Cowboys. Yeah, all gone Cows over the Knights. A lot of outsiders, $2.87 for the Knights. I feel like if you back a few underdogs this week, might end up on top. But yeah, Cowboys at home, pretty safe. But I mean, the Knights are better than they played. Well, I expected them to be better than they did were against the Raiders. Can anyone make an argument for the Knights up in Townsville?
Kalen Ponga. Any team with Kalen Ponga can win. But yeah, the Cowboys were too impressive against the Dolphins. They racked up, 30 points or something by halftime. So, they're too professional. I thought the Knights were too rusty with the ball. Canberra played a very good, conservative, hard style of football, and it wore them down. And once the dam wall got a few leaks, it burst late in the game, and the scoreline, you know, just went away from Newcastle. And I got a feeling Canberra are going to play like that against us this week as well. So I hope our boys, and I'm sure they will show up and be using both shoulders and ripping in hard and keeping this a low scoring game for us, hopefully.
The only game that we have differing opinions here, as and I've gone Manly at Four Pines Park, slash Brookie. You've gone the Chooks, Rob. The Manly outsiders, the Roosters looked really good in Vegas. It's the Brookie factor and Tommy Turbo's fit for me that's got him over. Yeah, I don't know. As this obviously, it's the closest. $2.18. I know next game is actually the closest in terms of betting, but yeah, this is a tough
it's
one.
It's a weird one, Josh, because this is one of the closest games in betting. And even though, like I say, just wait 4 or 5 weeks till there's some form established, I am super confident the Roosters are going to actually have a pretty comfortable win against Manly. I'm very confident.
All right. Harry, what are you thinking in this game?
I reckon I'm on the Roosters as well. I think Maria Hargreaves is back as well. So that should, I reckon they're just the better team.
Yeah, Sunday afternoon, two teams. I'm happy to bash the shit out of each other. Dolphins, Dragons, we've all gone. This is the closest. So Dolphins are $1.98, Dragons $1.86. So a flip of the coin. This one, the Dragons were good last week. The Dolphins sucked, so I tip the Dragons. It's in Redcliffe, so their actual home as. So, look, as Rob said, it's the start of the year. Weird shit happens, so this could go either way.
Yeah, it really could, and I honestly can't believe I'm tipping the Dragons 2 weeks into the season when I had them for the spoon. It looks like they might actually be decently far away from that, but yeah, I didn't see enough from the Dolphins to suggest that they'll be able to keep it close in this one with the way the Dragons came at the Titans, and the Titans just weren't able to handle it. I know they had a few outs, but you can only play what's in front of you, and the Dragons really took it to them on their home turf. And if they've had a little sabbatical up in southern Queensland, I think they can really take it to the Dolphins, and Dolphins might now be potentially in trouble when it comes to spoon contention.
Yeah, this is what I love about Wayne Bennett, guys. Like, they've lost the game. They've looked awful in the trials, and straight away they've dropped their halfback, Sean O'Sullivan. So I think this is actually a coin flip. I've gone the Dragons. The Dragons are in great form. They're playing with confidence, but this is a potential golden point job. This will go right down to the wire, in my opinion. And guys, did we do the Melbourne New Zealand game, or did we skip that?
We breezed over it because we're all
okay. I've changed my tip.
I didn't mention.
I've gone New Zealand. I've gone New Zealand. I thought Melbourne used their spare tank last week to beat Penrith, and I think it's going to be hard for them to back up. That was an absolute brutal game of rugby league, and I just think New Zealand will be fuming from throwing away that game against Cronulla. So I've changed my tip, and I've gone New Zealand.
All right. Well, I was going to say, Emmanuel's had a crack at us for tipping pretty much all favourites in our tip. So they're all. I more go home ground advantage. But I won our tipping cup last year. I if in doubt, go home team, usually for me, although I didn't do that for Dragons.
Manly are the underdogs at home. I think they're like $2.05 or something like that. So Roosters are favourites on the road, which is maybe to be expected. But yeah,
we know
I am a coward though.
But the Broncos are so potent, guys, and you know the Roosters tackled them out of the game. So I know Manly's got a good attack, but their defence went to sleep a couple of times against South, and South put on points quickly twice in that game to get to 22 or whatever their score was. So I think the Roosters, you look at that three-quarter line, guys, it's a star-studded, full of internationals and talent, and they got the forward pack. They don't even have, what's their second rower? Angus Crichton, I don't even think he's in their 17. Like, they're just so stacked, and I think the Roosters are the real deal this year.
Just on the Storm quickly, Sean Blore, 18th man again. I've been told that he's going to play for the North Sydney Bears for the first few weeks. I'm kind of hoping that, because our Magpies play the Bears round 5, I think, in North Sydney Oval. So keep him in cup until then. So we can watch him play against his old team in cup, and then he can make his debut next week. If you're listening, Craig Bellamy. Righto, into lower grades. Speaking of, cup and lower grades, so cup starting this weekend as well. Harold Matts, Balmain, as we go to air, I haven't actually checked the update on this. Venue to be confirmed. We're playing against, who are we playing against? Okay.
Bulldogs.
The Doggies, so don't know where that game is at the moment. It might be on the website. Check out the New South Wales Rugby League app/website. The Maggies, Harold Matts, are playing at Kirkham Oval in Camden in SG Ball. Obviously, probably I'm assuming the same as the others. So,
same venues, double headers.
Maggie's playing South Sydney Rabbitohs, out at Camden. Cup are playing before the main game, so you get two games if you head out to Canberra, 12:40 kickoff.
Actually get three.
Cup. Oh, is flag before it as well, before cup?
Yep.
Oh, sweet. Why can't we get that in Sydney? Plenty of names. Alex Lobb on the wing for us. Young Iverson Maddie, 5'8", who's apparently bit of a talent. Jake Simpkin there at hooker. Who else we've got there? Manamura lock. Talenta Silva's been named on the bench as Kit Lolili. Help me out, Az.
Lolili.
Thank you. So plenty to watch there in cup as well. Jersey Flegg, there it is, 11 a.m. I've cut off the venue there, but plenty. So, three grades. So get there for 11 o'clock and watch all three grades for us in Tasha Gale and Lisa Fiaola. They are at Kirkham Oval as well with the Magpies juniors. Fiaola is at 1 p.m. and Tasha Gale at 2:30.
Josh, Lisa Fiaola Cup. The Dogs in that one are a little bit nervous for the girls in that game. The Dogs are first on the ladder. They've conceded 40 points in 6 games, and they're coming off a 94-0 thrashing of the Manly side in a 60-minute game last week.
Bloody hell. 94 points in... They only play 60 minutes.
60 minutes, yep. So the under 16s girls is a 60-minute game, and they got, and Manly got drubbed 94-0.
Bloody hell. Get what's going on? The girls in Manly, give someone... It could be head down to Balgala Beach or something. Find some girls for the Manly side. That's unbelievable. Patreon.com/Westlife. Shane Coward, our Benji Marshall member, he wrote, week one of the comp shows, we need to be on it for round two onwards. I initially said we will win 8 games, but now I'm not so sure. Maybe 5. These are Cronulla round 3. Oh, so he's referring to, this is from the other night, I think we were talking about what games we thought the West Tigers would win. So he's saying Cronulla round 3. Leichhardt against the Saints around 6, Campbelltown, Newcastle round 10, Titans at Tamworth round 15, Para round 27, and Campbelltown will beat Brisbane in round 8. He said, finally, I've said for years we should have chased Flanagan to coach. Saints look the goods very early. Thank you, Shane, for supporting the show and all our Patreon legends as well. And I saw Gussie every single episode. He's given us another super, another $5. So, g'day, excellent, excellent Tiger humans. Hope you all have a great weekend. Let's prepare for the worst and hope for the best. Much love. Go the Tigers.
Well said, Gussie.
Number one fan.
What's the scoreline going to be, Gussie? I think I know. I just want to hear it from you.
Yeah, drop it in the comments. It's probably going to have some fours in it. Our next episode, Monday night, we will review the game against the Raiders. Hopefully a win. Sorry, Harry, but look, probably not. We'll see what happens, but 8:30 Monday night. Yeah, Harry, thank you very much for being our Raiders rep again. Are you heading down to, or you're in Canberra, are you heading to the game on Saturday?
Absolutely, I'll be there. I'll be there for the watch the two early games as well.
Gussie's predicting 44-4, I assume, to the Tigers. So prepare yourself for that. Anything to add, fellas, before we head off into the weekend? 40 years back, Rob, safe travels down the Hume Highway.
Oh, Hume Highway, M5, whatever you call it. Yeah, it turns into. Turns into going down there. Guys, I'm not sure if any of you guys heard David Clemmer today or yesterday, whenever it was, saying...
The presser, yeah.
Yeah, I just thought his take on the bye was very weird, saying they're glad they had the bye first round to get a win. We had to wait 9 rounds to get it last year. It was a little bit disconcerting to me. Like, personally, I feel like, you know, we're in an 800-meter race and all the other teams have started 30 meters ahead of us. I actually think I don't like having the bye first. I feel like we're a game short. Like, I would have loved to have had a game win or lose last week and then meet this huge Canberra pack, not just starters, but their bench minus Starling is absolutely huge. So, yeah, I just thought it was interesting that Clemmer would say, we're glad we had the bye week one. Like, you don't need the rest. You don't need, I don't know what it does, but anyway, look, Saints won off the bye round one last year. I think they beat Gold Coast in round two, so hopefully it works for us as well.
I just saw Emmanuel ask, we didn't mention the fan day at Lincoln Mobile last weekend. We touched on it on Monday's show, our review episode. I mentioned I didn't go. I had my sister-in-law's wedding and would have ended up in a divorce if I hadn't gone to watch Tigers lower grade instead of my sister-in-law's wedding. So, sorry, Emmanuel. I 100% wish I was there. Plenty of friends were there and put photos up on social media. I 100% would have been there if, I didn't have prior commitments. But anything to add, Az, before we hit the finale video button? By the way, Harry, a video will play at the end here if you want to stay on. We'll be on despite the stream finishes. Az, anything to finish?
Oh, I'm just absolutely stoked to have some Tigers footy back. It's been a long off season, long preseason. There was a long time watching and waiting for the 2 weekends worth of round one games to wrap up. And it's finally our turn to cheer for our boys and, yeah, bring on some Saturday Arvo footy.
Well said. And thank you to all of you who joined us live tonight. Thank you to the thousands of you listening to the show, audio, video, wherever in the world you are. And until next time, thank you to all our super chatters too. I'll give you one last shout out here. So Gussie, Brandon, Inagazin, let us know how to actually pronounce your name. Michelle Watson, and Vard T with the big pineapple. What a legend. And yeah, until next time, boys, go the Tigers.
Come on, Tigers. Come on. Go the Tigers.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Westlife Podcast. Please follow us at Westlife Pod on Instagram and Twitter and facebook.com/Westlife Pod. You can also support and take part in the show at patreon.com/Westlife and give us a subscribe on YouTube and turn notifications on. We'll see you again next time on another episode of the Westlife Podcast.